The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I love it when a plan comes together on a big Monday edition. Dom, we've got my congressman, our friend, Mark Pocan, and he's got votes, so he'll be staying just for a bit. And then we got Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, former senatorial candidate. He's on deck. He'll be joining us in just a bit, Mark, when you've got a skedaddle. But, sir, you were just calling for Joe Biden to step down on Friday, and apparently your words had impact, or the cumulative words of so many of the Democrats, and Joe Biden did the right thing, Mark, and that's so rare. And what's your reaction, sir?
Yeah, I mean, by Washington standards, he's a flying unicorn, right? I mean, we don't have people who put country before their own ambition very often, and Joe Biden did just that, you know? Look, he got more done in that first 2 years than I've seen done in any session or any presidency since I've been here. But, you know, clearly this year there were some problems. You know, the debate, I think, just kind of culminated some of the aging we've seen of Joe Biden. And it was absolutely nothing against Joe Biden. It was just a reality check that, you know, I can't tell you the hundreds and hundreds of people who called my office worried that Donald Trump could get elected president and Project 2025 would be his, you know, roadmap forward. But the good news is the president did the absolute right thing. I think now we've got an opportunity to have someone who's invigorating people. Certainly, I'm seeing it already with the vice president. And I think one of the very first stops is going to be in Wisconsin tomorrow. So that's all good news.
Well, Mark, I look forward to seeing Kamala tomorrow. But I saw Joe Biden on July 5th, and you introduced the man. Mark, you were standing with President Biden at that time. 14 days later, I believe by my math, the 19th, you called for him to step down. In was it the calls from the constituents? What changed, Mark, between the 5th and the 19th?
Yeah, you know, I had a private conversation that I'm going to leave private with him that day. And I'll tell you, I was nervous because I think you know what I probably was telling him was about the direction that we were hearing from people. And it's tough to say that to the leader of the free world, to be honest. But I'm going to leave the conversation at that. And I think during the week when the DNC said they were going to move up the roll call, that I thought was like, it looked like desperation. And we knew that there was a divide within the Biden camp, what to do. And I just, as much as I absolutely respect the president, I don't necessarily respect the people in the campaign who wanted to keep their jobs. And I was concerned that they were going to do something that'd be hurtful to Democrats across the country running for governor, Senate, House, and, you know, out of only respect did that, but did it for the greater good. And the president did things for the greater good because I knew that is who Joe Biden is. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, I think we came out in a really good place. And now, you know, the thing I think everyone should know is that debate, we had two terrible performances, right? People who they didn't want to see become president. Now the Republican Party has one of those terrible performances, people who they didn't want to become president, and we don't. We have an opportunity now to put that before the public, and I think that's going to pay off.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Congressman Mark Pocan joining us for just a couple minutes. Mark, certainly after this went down and the announcement came out, a few minutes later, the president endorsed Kamala Harris, and we've seen $81 million raised in 24 hours, and 244 out of 286 congressional Democrats and governors coalescing already around Harris. What do you think this says about her candidacy and herself?
Well, I mean, people are excited. She was picked because she's ready to be president. Now she's been vice president, ready to be president. Let's just move this forward and make her president, right? And I don't think there's anyone who's going to get in a 3 or 4 week campaign and risk their political future for something like this. This is, you know, we're living through history, right? Like, this is a unique time. I don't think any of us thought everything would transpose or happen, transform in that last 24 hours like it has. I think you're seeing unifying because we do see her as the person that helped to deliver us out of COVID, helping to have a robust economy, yet with a future forward looking agenda on top of it. And, you know, I think that's why you're seeing the people coalesce like we are.
Mark, you mentioned that roll call that was going to be done. What happens now?
I don't know. You know, I've been traveling to get to D.C. today, but I saw there was a new memo by whoever wrote the last memo, and I haven't had a chance to read it. And, you know, if there are legal reasons why we need to do something, I'm open to hearing them. But the way they were doing it last week did not seem to be legit, to be blunt. I think that's just the best way to put it. It seemed like they were trying to force something. And we were still in that conversation. I never expected an answer the first 2 weeks, you know, because they had to figure out all sorts of logistics. The president, you know, I had to talk to my in-laws recently. They're both in their 80s about driving, right? One immediately said, okay, I'll stop driving. The other one didn't. You know, this is the kind of conversations many of us have gone through in our lifetimes with parents and grandparents. And, I didn't expect an answer real quick. I was hoping in the next week or 10 days, he did it within 48 hours. So that's great. We can all move forward very quickly right now. But I think you're seeing this energy that we needed, you know, that people don't have to have a choice between two folks that I think people felt were older and maybe out of touch on issues. Now we're not there. And whether that's fair or not to the president, it was the perception, and that was becoming the reality. And the president realized that. Again, he did the right thing for the country. And now having Kamala Harris out there doing what she's doing, it's you know, I love to see a debate. In fact, already, did you see the Republicans are trying to weasel him out of a debate? You know, he and Derek Gordon can go hang out at the bar and, you know, skip having to show up and debate their opponents, I guess. But you know, if I was Donald Trump, I would avoid that debate too, because he's going to get chewed up and spit out. But, you know, I think we are in a much better place.
Congressman Mark Polkin, final question before we let you go do your congressman job, voting and such, sir.
Oh, man.
Personal impressions. The Foxy News people, I think, mischaracterize Kamala Harris. I've had a few interactions with her. I find her to be very intense, Mark, very intelligent. From your own interactions with Senator Harris, now Vice President Harris, now presumptive nominee Harris, what can you tell the people, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, in 24 hours, you wouldn't have the support build if she wasn't a quality candidate, right? I've seen her most recently in La Crosse, and she is great in front of a group because she's extremely intelligent. She has the right values. That's why the Progressive Caucus and other caucuses came out right away to endorse her. So we're excited about that. And she's ready to lead. And let's face it, you know, our country could use the first female president. In fact, you notice people aren't even saying that. That's not even our biggest part of the conversation right now. But hey, you know, it's only a majority of the population. It's only 2024. You think we could finally get with it? This is the energy that we need to get people out to vote that otherwise weren't going to vote. And this means Tammy, in addition to all the amazing work she does for the 5 years prior to an election year, to get reelected, this ensures that Tammy's going to be in a better spot than she might have been. This ensures that Derek Van Orden more likely can move to another state and have another failed business because he'll have the free time to do that. You know, this ensures a lot more opportunities for us across the country.
Mark Polkan, thank you so much, Congressman. We'll let you go vote, sir. But thanks for making some time for us today.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. And another fine guest in the wings. Up to bat now, he is Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, former senatorial candidate. I hope the friend of the devil is a real-time role. Welcome back, Mandela.
Hey, Mandela.
Hey, man. Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Mandela, big, moving, changing history in real time. Joe Biden has stepped down. The vice president is now, I would say already, the presumptive Democratic nominee. And she's coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. Mandela, do you anticipate seeing the vice president? And quite frankly, what's been your reaction to the last 24 hours, sir?
Hey, yeah, I will certainly be there tomorrow. I guess my reaction is, one, you know, a lot of folks have called for this moment. A lot of folks have felt that, you know, it was time for the president to pass the torch. And I do want to give my sincere thanks, because that cannot be easy. You know, I've won elections, I've lost elections, but to be in office in the middle of a campaign and making that incredibly difficult, if not impossible, decision to not seek re-election, I cannot imagine how tough that had to be for the president. But we are in this moment now, all systems go. I am completely 110% behind Kamala Harris and her quest for the presidency. I'm proud to have developed a friendship with her. Overtime, I was actually just at the vice president's residence on Thursday. And to be in this moment right now where she could potentially become president is something that brings me a lot of excitement. A lot of folks around me have a new enthusiasm. I've been in the middle of call time for Power to the Polls, raising money from our organization so that we can stand up the largest grassroots operation in the history of the state. And that was going to be regardless of who the nominee was. And I can tell you that the temperature on those phone calls was a lot different today than it was last week.
Mandel Barnes, our guest, thank you for your flexibility, sir. We'll keep you over for the second segment if you're able, sir. The vice president's been to Wisconsin, what, like five times this year? I mean, this campaign is certainly making Wisconsin a priority, a swing state. What do you think she brings different than besides the youth and vigor? It's still the same Democratic message, the same party. What do you think she adds to it, Mandela?
Well, like I said, what I think she adds is a different, you know, excitement, right? Like, people showed up and voted for President Biden, historic numbers, 4 years ago. And that can't be discounted. But what also can't be discounted is her presence on the ticket. And I think it's important to focus on the folks who are now inspired. Like, it's not difficult to take a scroll through social media and see what people's opinions and thoughts are today versus what they were 3 days ago. A lot of my friends were, you know, they had a lot of questions about if we were going to be able to pull it off in November. And now the conversations have been, or they've become much more optimistic than they were before. And so much of politics is based on feelings. And what, you know, Congressman Pocan said, whether it was real or not about the president's ability to get the job done, perception can totally do a person in. And the perception that people have of the vice president right now versus what they have of the president in terms of a...
Oh, no, they're going to perceive to cut you short. Mandela Barnes, stick around. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We welcome back a fine guest, Mandela Barnes. He was the former lieutenant governor, a senatorial candidate, and our fine guest right now. Mandela, thanks for joining us.
Well, I still am the former lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I guess that's a... Do we call you LT in perpetuity?
Hey, man, have at it.
LT Barnes, Mandela Barnes, thanks for coming around. Really appreciate it. Mandela, I'm sorry to cut you short. Vice President Harris coming to Milwaukee tomorrow. And, you know, what does she bring? What has changed? And, you know, when the margins are 21,000, 23,000 votes in a state like Wisconsin, I think it was around 30,000 in your election. These are small margins relative to 3 million votes. Have we seen the margin shift that much just in the last 24 hours, theoretically, Mandela?
Well, I can tell you, you know, based on perception, right? Like, the idea that people are more enthusiastic to contribute money. Look at her fundraising hall. I can assure you that a lot more volunteer shifts are going to get filled. And that means more voter contacts. That means more people being reached. That means more people being in conversation about this campaign than would have been the case before. So I do believe that there will be a translation into increased voter turnout versus what we would have had.
Mandela, through no fault of your own, we saw a lot of the Democrats bow out of your primary race. And that left some with the impression that, you know, maybe there was a diminished enthusiasm because the Democrats kind of picked you rather than letting the electorate pick you. And now we see this thing playing out with the vice president, Kamala, and we know that everyone is very anxious to unify around this candidate, but there's no alternative being offered to the electorate. Mandela, any fears, any echoes, anything that I should be aware of or the audience should in regards to this dynamic?
Yes, there's a whole lot you should be aware of. And let me be very clear here on the record. I want to remind people that two DNC members endorsed against me. I had zero DNC members endorse me in my primary. The mayor of Milwaukee endorsed against me in my primary. The county executive endorsed against me in my primary. If anything, I ran from the outside. And it was my campaign that proved so many people wrong who stood against me what could be done with grassroots activism and enthusiasm. I built my campaign from the ground up, went totally against the establishment, and we had a better outcome than the rest of my opponents who all worked incredibly hard. Everybody who was in my primary worked hard. Number of folks spent millions of dollars of their own personal money. There was a lot of effort put in there, but we built something that was sustainable, something that was long lasting, and that still translated into what I'm up to now with my political action committee, the long run, that's carrying over that momentum. My work with Power to the Polls, building on the grassroots infrastructure that we built so that we don't have these narrow margins in elections.
Mandela, obviously, Ron Johnson and his staff utilized something of a Southern strategy against your campaign. And Harris is obviously a Black candidate. Is racism a thing still in 2024 here in the state of Wisconsin? And how do you, as a political candidate, how do you run against it?
I'm going to assume that's a rhetorical question. And the way you run against it is you show up like anything else. Is racism real? Is sexism real? Are all these isms a part of society? Sure. However, as a candidate, focusing on that versus focusing on the finish line is only going to slow you down. And Kamala Harris is a person who can show up in any room. She can deliver to different sort of audiences across the country. And I've seen her do this time and time again over the last 3.5 years, actually last 4.5 years, if you count the campaign, or 4 years, if you count the campaign. So with that being said, it's about showing up. It's about not taking a single vote for granted. And a lot of times folks have got to be proven wrong. And so often it's the folks who don't even feel as if they buy into certain biases that exist. Although, you know, there were folks who will, have no sort of basis to question her ability to get it done, but will choose to do so because she is unlike anything they've ever seen before or ever witnessed. It's because a lot of folks have friend groups that are a little bit too small and not diverse enough to appreciate the beauty of people in this country. And her being at the top of the ticket helps open those doors and changes it for other folks across country.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest. He is Mandela Barnes. He is the former LT, former Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Wisconsin. He ran for the U.S. Senate, and he has a personal relationship he's built with Kamala Harris. And I remember Kamala's been coming to Wisconsin at least as far back as October of 2018, because she was here campaigning with Tammy Baldwin post-Kavanaugh. Mandela, those of us that watched the Kavanaugh hearings, those of us that saw her on the Senate Judiciary Committee, I think that she is mischaracterized on Fox News. How do you think people are going to be surprised when they see this candidate on the stump, front and center, not, you know, on the back of the stage, not as Joe Biden's VP?
Well, if, you know, you base any decision off of a characterization of someone on Fox News, especially a person with any sort of any speck of diversity, then you're going to get a caricature that's painted. And that's why it's important to support, you know, local journalism, local media. It's also important to cross-reference your sources as well to get the best sort of information. Folks who are plugged into avenues like Fox News are most likely looking for something else, looking to have fear instilled in them versus things they should not be afraid of at all. You know, we're looking to build a larger, more inclusive society, and that's a network that seeks to divide people along the most ridiculous lines, the things that have been going on since before the television was invented. And so I say, go back, look at those hearings, look at something like C-SPAN. Take your time to see how she has navigated some really challenging spaces and see how she has held power to account in many instances.
Mandela Barnes, last 30 seconds, tell people how they can get involved in your nonprofit work.
Well, yeah. So Power to the Polls, Wisconsin. We're 501c4, focused on civic engagement. Go to powertothepollswi.org or Forward Together Wisconsin, where we're focused on expanding clean energy opportunities all across the state. That is a 501c3, and that is forwardtogetherwi.org.
Mandela Barnes, our friend, thank you so much for coming around. We'll catch you on the flip side.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. A Monday happier happy hour. I love it when a plan comes together. Dominic, how you doing, little buddy?
Yeah. Man, we're making the plan. We're making the plan come together.
Well, they say building the airplane as you're flying it. That's what we do around here. We're flexible.
Oh my God.
We're team blue. So, you know, our candidate drops out and we grab a new one. We unify. We get a new plan. I love this plan. Also loved our fine guests. They included Mandela Barnes. And I wish you were able to participate in a little more of that one. But always great to speak with Mandela. And also my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan, who just called for President Joe Biden to step down on Friday. And by Sunday, he had done so. And by Monday, Kamala is effectively the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party. She's raised $81 million in the first 24 hours. She has the overwhelming support of Congress, senators, state governors, the entire Democratic Party. The Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin's endorsed her. Tony Evers endorsed her. Tammy Baldwin endorsed her. And Crudy, I've endorsed her. And Dom, have you endorsed Kamala Harris at this point? You had endorsed a cardboard cutout of Joe Biden, man. You were going to vote for blue no matter who, right? So
right.
You're all down for Harris, an actual
really
living candidate?
Kamala Harris, yes, absolutely. I would have voted for the weekend of Bernie's.
Yeah, well, I know you keep saying that, but the rest of us found that very unappealing. Kamala Harris, much more appealing. And, you know, we've got some people texting in, and, you know, you can call as well. The number is the same, 844-967-2789. Hi, Devils. Can we talk about the rest of Biden's term? Without going into crazy territory, what good trouble can the president do now? Because, you know, he's a lame duck. First and foremost, Hunter, you get a pardon. Hunter Biden, if his case is not, what, thrown out because they used a special counsel, right? The same principle that Eileen Cannon used to throw out the charges against Trump. I actually heard that Hunter Biden's team has asked the courts to throw out his convictions for the very same reason, Dom. So that's quite interesting. So that would be one of the things. And if I were Joe Biden at this late hour, I would just, you know, I would just pardon the son. I'd be done with it. No electoral harm done at this hour. Here's another one. Steady Eddie, text in. Crudy and Dom, since this presidential season has been extremely unconventional so far, how about Dom and Crute, the Devil's Advocates, as co-VPs? Dom could be the weed czar in charge of legalization and quality control. No doubt he would help capture the 1990s aging long-haired stoner vote. And Crudy could sell devil merchandise to tourists on the White House lawn because he's got bills too. And also be in charge of carrying around the nuclear football for President Kamala Harris. Yes, I often carry the heavy weight around the show, so I'd be used to that. Tom from LA says all that matters is Project 2025. And is it true? Mike from Fond du Lac wonders, is it true that Mike Pence sent a letter to President Biden? Who cares if he did? Like, I don't think that'd be the thing that would get Biden off the schneid. 844-967-2789. I'm going to go out on a limb here and see how the MAGA faithful are reacting to this news that Joe's dropped out and Kamala is our presumptive nominee. So, CJ, how do you feel about this?
Well, the coronation has happened because your party claims to care about democracy, but you crap on it.
How so?
Beautifully.
Tell me how so. Joe dropped out, and we have unified our party around our vice president, which is the only logical choice. She was part of the ticket. So what is so undemocratic about anything that's happened in the last 24 hours, CJ?
Well, your party has proven just by the way our Constitution was crapped on by our Supreme Court in Wisconsin,
but
we are supposed to go through the legislature to have voter changes. But no, that's what
we haven't put a nominee on the ballot yet, CJ.
You sidestepped the law.
CJ, the ballot deadline is September 3rd. The Democratic Party will select Kamala Harris, and she will represent our party on the Wisconsin ballot. And the only wiping of one's butt upon the Constitution that I'm aware of was your insurrectionist buddies on January 6th, CJ.
Not true. And you remember...
Not true. They were literally crapping in the U.S. Capitol, CJ. So, you know, literal. Meaning they were crapping in the U.S. Capitol and wiping their feces on the wall. So, you know, I'm sorry. That's a little worse than a nominee choosing to step down and allowing his vice presidential pick to be endorsed. And if the party supports her, guess what? She becomes the Democratic nominee. And I suspect she soon will. 844-967-2789. Carol from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Carol. What do you got for us?
Welcome. Hello.
Hello.
I'm surprised you took a call from CJ. I was wondering what his take was going to be.
Well, it's a little crazy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I'm just happy to hear him back. I admit I was really disappointed Sunday. I had my... had my disappointment. Now it's a new day, and I'm ready to get out there. I support Vice President Harris. Although Sunday I did want to punch Wolf Blitzer in the mouth because he was interviewing some Democratic congressman, and he brought up the idea, well, why don't we just release all the delegates and let them choose who's going to run for president? It's like, we already made that choice. We voted Biden Harris in the primary. Shut up and sit down, Wolf.
Yeah. Well, effectively, Joe Biden did release all the delegates, and he endorsed Kamala Harris. And once he endorsed her, a lot of other delegates followed suit. But effectively, that's what they did, Wolf.
Doesn't she automatically get the delegates because it was Biden Harris, or do they only go to the top of the ticket?
Carol, great question. I was getting a little echo when I tried speaking back to you, so I'm putting you on hold. But no, the cast delegates were for Joe Biden first, and you know, the sidecar is a secondary thing. I don't think that the delegates, I think unlike the Republican Party, you're captured. You're trapped. If you're a Republican delegate, you go to the candidate. There is a conscience clause that effectively relinquishes Democratic candidates if, you know, we've got to change at the top of the ticket or something of that nature. And clearly, that's exactly what's happened here. And, you know, we haven't even printed the Wisconsin ballot. So despite the boo-hooing of guys like CJ, he's just absolutely wrong. And the boo-hooing of guys like Scotty Wanker and the Republicans that, oh, this is undemocratic in some way. This is a coup.
Yeah, right.
It's not. It's not a coup. The guy chose to step down. Now, there might have been pressure, but no one made him. A coup is when you go and, you know, you bring the military and you knock down his doors.
Well, I would think a coup is like when you say, come to the Capitol, we'll be wild. And then you do nothing for 3 hours while your supporters, for the first time in American history, stop the peaceful transfer of power. And then when you also engage in the silent coup with your fraudulent electors. I mean, they know what coups are. So, of course, they're using the same language. That's, see, that's what they do. They try to blend it all the same.
Desensitize you to the term coup?
You guys are doing a coup just like we did. Well, that's not exactly how it works, you guys. And at the end of the day, as we said earlier in the show, and I've said it before, Joe Biden made that determination, his own decision himself. I mean, he made that call. And he could have pressure from the missus, and he could have pressure from the family. He could have pressure from, you know, Democratic leaders, Mark Pocan, Nancy Pelosi, and others. But ultimately, he did not have to do what he did. And there was zero consequence for him personally, electorally perhaps, but personally, if he decided to stay. He made that decision. That is not in any way, shape, or form any sort of a coup. And let's also not forget the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. These are private organizations. They set their own rules, Curdy. I heard you talk about it, right? They're not locked in, at least the Dems aren't. Like the Republicans. And Republicans don't have the superdelegates like the Dems do. You know why? Because they make their own rules. And they decided, the guy at the head of that party, the president, decided he didn't want to run again. That's not a coup. That's a wise, commendable, and humble decision for the betterment of our country and for the Democratic Party in general.
Well, no Republican has ever done the right thing, Dom, so it seems so unfamiliar to CJ and his ilk. 844 967-2789. Gail from South Beaver Dam. Welcome, Gail. What do you got for us?
Hi, Gail.
Yes, great, great. The last 24, 36, 48 hours, fantastic. I can't wait until Kamala Harris meets Mr. Trump in a presidential debate.
Yeah.
And she's going to say, my opponent here on this stage seeking the presidency of the United States, are you even capable of speaking the truth?
He is not, Gail.
Well, I know he's not. And then here's another thing. we call this the prosecutor versus the felon. Kamala's the prosecutor. Of course, we all know Trump's the felon.
Sadly, his party likes that, though. He's like the WWE villain. Somehow, he becomes like a caricature villain in their minds. You know, like the good villain.
I'm voting for the villain of the T-shirts we saw around
town. They're wearing...
The felon. I'm voting for the felon.
I'm voting for the felon!
And Biden did the right move. He put country over self, and we are storming. We are on our way. She raised more money in 24 hours and shattered every record that was on.
Uh-oh, lost Gail, but absolutely. All great points you make, sir. Thank you for listening up in Dodge County, beautiful Wisconsin. 844-967-2789. Let's check out with the leftist coast in L.A., Tom. Tom, I know you were riding with Biden. Now are you riding with Harris?
Hey, Tom.
Oh, of course. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we the people means all of us. We'll be making this choice to make sure Kamala is our next president of the United States, as well as her vice president. She was fantastic just now on TV, or on the radio. Joe Biden saying, giving her the thumbs up and saying, there you go, kid. You know, like Joe Biden knows how to do. This is a great, great new day. I mean, Donald Trump is just old and stale. It's like going to an old concert and hearing not even the hits anymore, because it hasn't been old enough to hear the hits. He is just old and stale, and I think Gary and CJ and some of those guys better get some money together for their psychotherapy that they're going to need, because they got nothing on her. She is the real deal. She was the real deal here in California as Attorney General and as a state senator. She is a progressive, but a sensible progressive. And I really think we're going to take this all the way to the White House. And I think that it just gave us an extra bump in terms of going out and walking door to door, knocking on doors, calling. Because now you
any preference, Tom, for a vice presidential candidate?
Well, I think to myself, Roy Cooper, in a way, because of the fact that he is termed out, and that's North Carolina, and that's 19 electoral college votes. I also think Pete Buttigieg, because I think he'd be excellent against J.D. Vance and would cream him. And I think also Mark Kelly, because he has also the military background and that. I'm not as big on Gretchen Whitmer or Josh Shapiro, because I think they're great governors.
Whitmer already says he's not interested in being the sidecar.
Yeah.
Shapiro has been vetted. He is a strong consideration because Pennsylvania matters. California less so, Tom. Thanks for listening, though. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Your final opportunity to react. VP Harris.
Closing views.
The video game seems lame.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 844-967-2789.
Dom, the text line has been blown up today. Thanks for the show, gentlemen. You guys are busting ass. And then Sharky sends us lots of fire emojis, laughing emojis, etc. Here's one from a WMDX texter. Kind of personal, but I'm going to respond to it. Crudy, like you, I did not contribute to the Biden campaign. Count me in on Harris. I will match your contribution. Text me your amount. Well, I can't text back, probably, so I'm just going to tell you. I will give them $100, and I will do so today. I've already been getting hit up by Act Blue all day long, so when I slow down after the show, I'm good for a hundy. I'm good for one Ben Franklin. And I'm giving it to the Harris campaign. And that would be a sizable contribution. I've only given one candidate more ever, historically ever. And that's because I think she can beat that Tony Weeds ass up in Green Bay. Kristen Lierley, Dr. Lierley. I give her a couple $100. But Harris gets 100, and I'm reserving the right to give more as the campaign progresses, as we get to the DNC, etc. Someone says, I really shouldn't text after 420. Yeah, it's a problem for a lot of us. Here's a text.
Some people shouldn't do radio after 420.
Pete Buttigieg for VP. Yes, Pete. I like Pete. I saw Pete the other day. I think it was on Bill Maher, perhaps. Man, that guy is so freaking smart. And yeah, the fact that he could use religion as a tool against the right, because he is far more educated on the Bible than just about anybody. He's not afraid of Fox News. He's strategically and intellectually far superior to most of the supposed Foxy News journalists that ask him the tough questions. Well, he just throws them back in their face with ease, generally. So I would like Pete Buttigieg. I think he'd whoop J.D. Vance in his anti-LGBT.
Man, I brought up Pete Buttigieg the other day, and you were mocking me. Now you're down with Pete Buttigieg? Come on, man.
Hey, everything has changed since last week.
Someone texted in, and now Crudy's down. Everything changed.
Anyways, there's a couple of texts about our friend Mandela Barnes, and, you know, always great to hear Mandela. Mostly positive stuff. You know, most of the negative stuff reserved for Crudy. But today, you get some, Dom, I'm sure. 844-967-2789. Don from Milwaukee, welcome, sir. What has been your impression of the weekend and your Mondays so far?
Hey, Don.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot of excitement. This has changed the whole dynamic of the campaign.
Yes, sir.
That dirtbag Trump, you know, he was kind of referring to Biden as a senile old man. Now he's the senile old man. So that's all I got to say, gentlemen. Great show.
Yeah, he's old. I think the Republicans really need to look at casting their candidate overboard.
I think you're right. I mean, it worked so well for the Democrats, at least in 24 hours. Lots of coalition, 244 out of 86 Democrats in Congress and Democratic governors coalescing around the vice president right now, raising $81 million in 24 hours. I mean, you should probably maybe consider that, Mega.
Remember when Paul Ryan wanted to throw grandma from the train? You know, you could do that to Trump. Just saying. 844-967-2789. Don from Madison. Welcome, Don. What do you got for us?
Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. I'm not really sure Camilla can win, though. You know, we had the Mandela Barnes, and I voted for him, and I'll vote for Camilla. I'd vote for a dirty dish rag over Donald Trump. So, but
what do you mean?
I don't know if she can win. There's a lot of racist and sexist Democrats.
Let me throw two names at you, or one name. Barack Obama, man. He turned out record numbers of Democratic votes in the state of Wisconsin in 2008 and 2012. So race is not the most important issue.
How about Adam Kinzinger for vice president?
I don't like cross. I mean, I understand the sentiment of going after a Republican, but they're still a freaking Republican. And
I know. Well, what about a moderate? What about Kasich, the old governor of Ohio? He was a moderate. Now he looks like even more of a moderate. He actually looks like a lefty.
Hey, you could be moderate with your cabinet picks. You know, I'll put a couple of Republicans in the cabinet, but no, as my VP, give me a swing state governor. Give me Shapiro, Shapiro or Cooper done. And
Beto O'Rourke from Texas.
Former congressman? No, that's a wasted pick. And I've met Beto O'Rourke, and I'm not overly impressed with Beto. I got to tell you.
What do you mean, in the sense that Texas was not in play?
Well, we're not going to win Texas. Beto didn't deliver. Beto couldn't beat Ted Cruz. I'm just going to say that. If you can't beat Ted Cruz, you are not my vice presidential choice. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to Mandela Barnes. Thank you to Mark Pocan. Thank you, Joe Biden, for doing the right thing. That is so rare in this world. What an admirable man. I hope his legacy. I'm going to say nothing but good things about Joe Biden forevermore. I love you, Joe Biden. You did the right thing. And you have given this nation a chance, democracy a chance, and Crudy a chance to just... have something to live for, Joe. Thank you so very, very much. You did the right thing. Kamala Harris, she is your presumptive Democratic nominee. And tomorrow, she's supposed to be in Milwaukee. And Dom, that means I'll be in the room if they'll let me in. And then we'll talk about it on the radio. I'll join you in Milwaukee tomorrow. We'll join you all. I know. I was thinking about it. We'll join you all on the airwaves. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're making history around here. I mean, what a slow news week so far.
Yeah,
hope tomorrow's busier. Thank you all.
Thank you, Rich.
Be well.